The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48. It is page 115 in the New Testament. Today's words are from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to verse 48. Allow me to read the words. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose masters finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose a servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Amen. This is something that I read from a small monthly magazine. There was a moving vendor that sold different kinds of vegetables from a small truck as he went around different neighborhoods. Buy fresh cabbages and beets. The moving vendor parked at an empty lot in an apartment complex and sold vegetables. A housewife was returning home and saw the store and noticed that the cabbage looked really good. She ordered 4 heads of cabbages and asked for a delivery after paying $10,000 for them. The vendor said, just tell me the dong number and the apartment number. I will deliver them. Not to worry. So the housewife said, it's dong 5, apartment 415, and came home. But the vendor who said he would make the delivery right away did not come, even as the day was ending. Suddenly, black clouds gathered and a strong rain came down. She thought he was being delayed because of the rain and waited for him, but he did not come even when the nightfall came. She got really angry, thinking that she was defrauded. She murmured to herself, how could he sell his conscience for a mere 10,000 won? The husband said, it was your fault for trusting a wandering vendor. Just pretend that you lost it. She also got upset at her husband, who lectured at her rather than comforting her. She went to bed with a sore heart. The next day, as she was hanging laundry to dry in the veranda, somebody rang the doorbell. Who is it? Did you by any chance buy cabbages yesterday? When she opened the door, a man dressed in shabby clothes, soaked in sweat, was standing. And he was the cabbage vendor from yesterday. Rather than being glad to see him, she took on a blaming tone and asked him, Yes, that's correct, but why did you come now? The cabbage vendor scratched his head apologetically and held out a piece of paper and said, The paper on which I wrote down your address, the dong number, got all wet, and only left number 5. So I went in search of all the apartments that ended with number 5 in this apartment complex, and it got dark. And so I'm really sorry. He repeatedly bowed his head to apologize. His lips were cracked, as if he had become exhausted in looking for her apartment. I'm sorry, I had no idea. The housewife offered a man something to drink, but the cabbage vendor turned to go, saying that he had to begin his business as soon as possible. In today's text, Jesus tells us that we, as Christians, should have an attitude like this cabbage vendor as we live our lives. Verse 36 testifies as follows. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. In our country in the past, too, a wedding was a festivity not only for a family, but for the entire village. The celebration went on for several days. At Jeju Island, a traditional wedding took place over 3 days. The 2 days preceding the wedding was a pig slaughter day, so that the entire people of the village gathered to slaughter a pig, and the family's wedding publicly became a festival for the entire village. And on the day preceding the wedding, a family celebration was held, so that not only the relatives, but the people of the village and friends all came together, so that the mood of the village became even more festive. So this day was called the eating day. This day was busier and busier and saw more guests arrive than on the wedding day. So most of the money contributions for the wedding were paid on that day, and relatives and friends who could not attend the wedding came on this day to congratulate the couple. On the actual day of the wedding takes place at a wedding hall, but there was no treating of guests to a meal. And there's a good example of how Jewish people thought of a wedding in a passage from Talmud. Rabbi Yose ben Halafta and a Roman noblewoman had this conversation around 2 century AD. Woman, how long did it take God to create the world? Rabbi, it took him 6 days. Woman, then what has God been doing after that until now? Rabbi, after that, God is busy marrying people. Woman, even I can do that. I have a lot of male and female slaves. I can get them to marry in an instant. Rabbi, is that so? After she took leave of the rabbi, the noble woman gathered 1,000 each of our married female and male servants and lined them up. She made each of them marry the person who was standing opposite to him or her, and made 1,000 married couples overnight. But the next morning, the slave couples were in an uproar. Some had his head swollen, another had his eye swollen shut, another had an arm or a leg broken. The noble woman asked them, "What in the world is the matter?" And they all answered, "The person you made me marry is not the person I want." The noblewoman immediately sought out the rabbi and said, "You are right." Rabbi answered, "It looks easy to be easy to make a good match, but God considers it as difficult as parting the Red Sea." According to the customs of Jewish people, the wedding day was a day on which all of the past sins of the bride and the groom were forgiven. So the bridegroom and the bride fasted from the night before the wedding until the evening of the wedding. The moment the wedding ceremony was over, the groom stepped on a glass cup. This was to resolve that, like the cup that has been shattered to pieces and cannot be restored to its original shape, the wedding cannot be revoked. Because the Jewish people held the wedding as such an important event, the festivities went on for a week. So in order to attend a wedding of a relative who lives far away, it was necessary to leave the home for a considerable amount of time. And on occasion, a person will stay with relatives or friends they do not see very often on their way to the wedding. And sometimes they arrived at the middle of the wedding festivities. Therefore, the servants had no idea when their master would return. This is why Jesus says, it is the person who opens the door when the master returns, no matter when the time of return is the person whom God rejoices over. Jesus says, this is how the master will react. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. Jesus is saying that when a master sees a servant, a steward, takes good care of the house, the master will have them sit at a table and will serve them and treat them with the highest honor. This is what will happen in heaven. When we go to heaven, the Lord will prepare a table for us, and the Lord will put himself in the position of a waiter and serve us. This is the reward that the Lord gives to people who obey the will of the Lord, who lived according to the words and served well each person the Lord had given them. And David, who always dreamed of such a scene, confessed as follows: you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely the goodness of the mercy of the Lord shall follow me all the days of my life. David had to be on the run during a great deal of his life. In particular, he was pursued by King Saul, who was his father-in-law as well as his king. Now, Saul selected 3,000 men and pursued after David to capture him. Saul's pursuit was so fearful that when David went as far as Gitlo, the country of Goliath, whom he had killed, he pretended to have lost his mind by scribbling on the temple gates and letting his spit or drool drip down over his beard in order to escape from danger. Not only that, he had to face a coup d'etat by his son Absalom after he became king and had to hide from him. And in particular, when he had to go to Mount Olives, he hid his face by having his hair fall over it, ran up in tears, in bare feet. The psalm tells us that the Lord is not finished by preparing a table for us just once. We can imagine this scene. David is running away in the wilderness, and his enemies are coming after him on a horseback with long swords and spears. He becomes exhausted and can run no more and thinks to himself that he is good as dead. He will die in having been captured by his enemies. But when he opens his eyes, but as the time passes, nothing happens to him. And when he opens his eyes, he sees that the Lord's tent is surrounding him. Furthermore, he's given a bath and his head is anointed with oil, is led to a festive table. Because God's tent is surrounding him, his enemies can no longer come close to him. At that time, David realized that he had been thinking all along that his enemies and his hardships were coming after him. But what was coming after him much closely was the goodness and loving kindness of God. And so he resolves to reside in the house of God forever. When we live fully awake and sincerely, without giving in to secular values, it is possible that the other people will not praise us for that or give us credit for that or give us an applause for that. Maybe they will not even know that we are trying to live in such a way as best as we can. But the Lord is never unaware. Sometimes receiving encouragements from people can strengthen us. But if you become only used to being praised by people, then it is difficult for our faith and our character to mature. Although we may not be able to see it, we must become used to the encouragements from the Lord. We must experience the grace of the Lord, who comforts us over matters that we cannot explain in full to other people, or over matters which others misunderstand us because they only know a part of the story. The reason we must receive encouragement of the Lord is that only those who value the Lord's encouragement can live before the Lord. Those who only treat the encouragement of people as being valuable may live well as long as others are around, but they cannot do so before God. A representative example of such a person is King Saul, whom we're learning about in our district Bible study. He became used to the praise of people only so that he failed to sense the eyes of God on him and only became sensitive to the eyes of others. But it is only those who receive encouragement from God who can genuinely encourage others. This is from verse 38. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. It was the case in our country in the past as well, but it was natural for guests who attended a wedding to stay over a day or two, or even several days after the wedding. And when the wedding took place far away in the country, people often stayed at a relative's or a friend's house on their way. So it was not possible to be to know precisely the date and the time of one's return. Therefore, although it may have been possible to guess approximately when a master who had gone to attend the wedding festivities at a faraway region would return, it was possible that he would be back before or much after the expected time. Traditionally, the Israelite people divided the night hours in thirds. And the Roman people divided the night hours into one-fourth. At the time of the New Testament, Israel was under the occupation of a Roman Empire, and people usually used the Roman ways to divide up the night. In other words, the hours from 6 in the evening to 6 next morning were divided into 6 to 9 p.m., 9 p.m. to midnight, midnight to 3 a.m., and 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. If one were to say that a master who went to a wedding could return at around the second hour or third hour of the night, if the master comes in between such times, then he would be coming home at midnight. This is a time when one is most tired. But when a servant stays up even as late as that, it was certain that such a person is a kind of person who takes care of his duties well during the course of an ordinary day. And Jesus continues to say the following. This is from verse 39 and verse 40. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. In the text, a thief is not someone who openly or with violence robs people, but refers to someone who steals without others knowing it. In other words, the time that a thief comes is when the master is asleep, when one is not paying attention. And this figure represents Jesus Christ, who will return at a time when we do not expect. If Jesus were to come again during our time, when would you like him to come? It would be good if Jesus were to come when we are in worship like now, wouldn't it? What I heard in my middle school and high school days was the ideal time was a rainy evening on Wednesday. People do not come to church for Wednesday service often. And on top of that, if it rains, people would stay home making excuses because of rain. Perhaps this is a story that a pastor has made up in order to encourage members of his church to come to Wednesday evening service. Now, what I heard next on this topic of timing of Jesus' return was morning prayer session on rainy Monday morning. For a pastor, Sunday is physically a tiring day. It's a hard thing to have prepare a Monday early morning service sermon after giving a sermon on Sunday. But these days, the rainy days have been replaced with a beautiful Sunday. What is common about all three of these days is that there are times when it's difficult for us to stay awake spiritually and when our hearts become vulnerable. Each of us have our own weak spots. But even when Jesus were to come when we're alive, he's not the kind of person who will select a time when we're least holy and least sincere rather than when we are living most holy and sincerely. If this were true, there's no way that Jesus would have died for us in our place when we were sinners, when we were enemies of God. Further, it is likely that us breathing our last will come first before the Lord returns. Anyway, now no one of us knows when that will be. There could be persons who can expect when they will breathe their last and can say goodbye and tell others that they will meet again in heaven. But for others, they might not even expect to have breathed their last, but it could turn out to be the case. The place of the last breath could be a bed, but it could be a scene of an accident or a place we go in our ordinary lives. We do not know this, so we must always be awake and prepare for it. If so, then what can we do to live a prepared life, a life which is in accordance with God's calling? Verse 35 testifies as follows. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. The Lord says two things. Firstly, he says we must be dressed. In other words, put a belt around our waist. For us to putting a belt around our waist is to get ready for work. The clothes back then were different from the clothes that we wear these days. The clothes were in one piece. They came down from the shoulders all the way down to the floor. It was no problem to walk slowly around here and there in this clothes, but it was really an inconvenient clothes to wear for walking fast or for running. It was longer than the gown the pastors typically wear when presiding over a baptism. So it came down nearly all the way down to the floor. Further, when Jewish people ate, they ate while reclining with their belts off. So when a person gets dressed, in other words, puts on a belt, it meant that one was putting an end to a loose life. The first thing that a person did in going to work or in going to war was to put a belt around his waist because this was the only way a person could move quickly. When we look at Ephesians chapter 6, we are commanded to put on a full armor. And the first thing which is mentioned is for us to put on a belt of truth. And at the time of Exodus, as the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, God commanded the Israelites to eat the Passover meal in a hurry, but before eating the meal, they were to put on their belts, wear their shoes, and take hold of a walking stick. And in this command also, what the people were to do first was to put on their belts. Unless they did so, they couldn't leave Egypt quickly. If we were tilling the land while wearing large size pants and do not have our belts on, how ridiculous we would look if we were to hold a hoe or a pick on one hand and try to work while holding on to our pants with our other hand. One's hands and feet become free only when a belt is properly placed around one's waist. Secondly, he says that we should have lit lamps. Jesus says a servant who waits for his or her master to come back from a wedding does not greet him by lighting a lamp, but does so by not letting a lit lamp go out. The emphasis on getting dressed is on the state of continually being dressed, and the emphasis on the burning lamp is on the state of the lamp being continuously burning. Now, these days, there are work hours for workers, but in ancient times, there were no work hours set aside for the servants. They work from dawn to sundown. And it means that a person who is faithful to his master's business does not stop working just because a certain time has passed. He takes care of his responsibilities even when the night comes. But please do not misunderstand this and think that God likes people who work too much, a workaholic. God, so that people do not work themselves to death, or make other people work to death, gave us the Sabbath. On top of that, God made people of Israel to keep two big week-long holidays, which were Passover and the Festival of Tents. What Jesus means by continue to have the lamp burning is not a command to work a lot, but for us to meet our responsibilities. Now, today is Family Sunday. In our lives, the place where we must secure our belts around first, the first place we are meant to have our lamps burning, are in our families. Families these days have belts loosened around their waists, and lights within the families are so dim that the rooms are not lit very well. This is not something that started happening yesterday or today. While I was working in Geneva between 2001 and 2007, until a few months prior to my return to Korea, I didn't watch Korean dramas at all. But as it neared my time to return to Korea, I became curious about how Korea had changed. So I got a video of three drama series that the members of the church were then watching. They were Winter Ballads, which aired in 2002, Spring Days, and My Name is Kim Sang-sun, which each aired in 2005. What I was most struck by as I watched these dramas was how there was not a single instance of a family which was made up of a couple and children born to them. And from then and now, every drama contains a plot about a secret, how a character was born. God, through Apostle Paul, commanded the husbands to love their wives in the way that the Christ loved the church and the way he gave himself as an offering on the cross. And to the wives, he said that they should obey and respect their husbands. And to parents, he said they should not cause their children to become angry, but that they should be educated. They should be taught with the examples and words of the Lord. And to the children, he said they were to serve and honor their parents. But these commands have become old and shoddy, a command with holes as far as we're concerned. If these are the words given to us by God, who created us and leads us, there is no question that we will be built up rightly as God's children when we obey these words. But because we do not obey them today, even the homes of Christians have become endangered. And unless each family is healthy, there is no way our society and nation can become healthy. Let us all put bells around our waist and hoist up burning lamps and become husbands who obey the words, wives who obey the words, parents who obey the words, and children who obey the words. In particular, a family of only one person has come to make up recently not less than one-third of the population, going beyond the quarter of the population in our times. I have lived apart from my family during 2 years, and I've come to realize that there are things that I didn't know before I was living alone. Let us become Christians who obey the Lord all the more if we're living alone by putting belts around our waist and holding out burning lamps. At that time, our families will become the temples which will build together in the Lord, and we will become his pathways. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for making us realize through today's words that a servant who waits well for his master, who went to a wedding, must put on a belt around his waist and hold a burning lamp. No matter where we are, help us to have such an attitude as we live. More than anything, guide us to live well, the life in which our belts have been secured and the lamps that are burning in our families as we greet Family Sunday. Today our families are stained and are unhealthy. The laws of relationships are broken, families are broken, and a lot of things are happening in our families which should not happen. God, guide the husbands and wives, put around the belts that they are to put around their waist and hold up the lamps that they should hold out so that each will come to love and respect one another. And may each of us put on the belts and hold out the burning lamps that we are to hold out as children and parents so that we can establish healthy families. Especially we ask you again to remember one-person families that are increasing by the day. There are things that a person cannot understand unless one has lived alone. Please may your comfort and blessings overflow at such times for these families. Although they may be alone, may they put on the belt and hold up the burning lamp they are to hold up spiritually, in their character, and in society. And for people who have yet to form families, may they receive the grace of meeting their partners that you have prepared for them at your time. And there are various types of families in our societies now, single-parent families, families made up of grandparents and grandchildren, and families made up from different cultures and ethnicities. No matter what families there may be, may these families become closed with your awesome touch and your grace so that our society will become healthy. It is our desire that by putting belts around our waist and holding out the burning lamps, we will become built together in the Lord as people who are obedient to your words so that we will come to experience little heavens in our families. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.